It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. It is quite a day in Colorado. Proposition CC, it looks like, went down big time. So we'll be talking about that. Thrilled to have in studio with me our researcher, Patty Kurgan. It is so great to have you here.
Good morning, Kim. Thank you for having me.
And you've got an important op-ed that's going to be at kimmunson.com by the end of the day. We've been talking a lot about corporate welfare over the last 17 days, and you've uncovered a lot of information. You'll call your girl, you won't believe this. So it's been amazing what you're finding out.
It is. I had no idea what we were spending in terms of corporate welfare. And I hope that people have now been ignited and will start attending council meetings. They can be effective. We've seen it in other cities or communities across the state. And let's go after them. You know, let's all stand up for Colorado and let's keep our dollar in our back pocket.
So we'll continue on with that conversation. In the second segment, we'll talk with Bill Hudson, who is the founder and editor of the Pagosa Daily Post. He's been writing some really important pieces for the Pagosa Daily Post, and also we'll find out what happened last night at their town council regarding the vote on the TIF and the Urban Renewal Authority and what all they're doing there. So that'll be second segment. Then third and fourth segment, Sherry Pfeiff will be joining us. She did an important piece regarding TIFs back in July, and so we're going to continue to unpack this. And I had a friend of mine that reached out to me and said, now, Kim, there's some good things with TIFs as well. I'd like to sit down and talk with you about that. So we're going to have coffee, and I think that we might do a point-counterpoint then after that because we want to bring everything to the table and always search for truth on this. And so, Patty, you've done such a great job on this. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Okay. And Steve, you look like you are just a really excited guy. Proposition CC went down yesterday.
Yes, I can't contain myself. Like I told you, I made an unexpected or unplanned trip to the home computer this morning just to see what was going down. And can you imagine the joy in Douglas Bruce's heart right now?
Right. He is Douglas Bruce is the architect of TABOR, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, and that was what Proposition CC was. Patty, is that the PBIs, the politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties were asking to keep the change, to keep our tax refunds forever without ever having to ask us. And I'm so excited that people of Colorado said, no, not on our watch.
Exactly. We will hold you accountable. We're not giving you that blank check that you're asking for.
And 1A went down in Jeffco as well, and it looks like maybe 1A passed in Douglas County. But overall, I think that it was a really good day for the voices and the votes of everyday hardworking Coloradans.
Absolutely. Exciting.
So as we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And ultimately, socialism comes down to force. It is never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, or freedom via force, whether with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. Steve, we talked about that meme that you had found the other day of a young woman with a firearm, and the meme said that you can vote your way into socialism, but you typically need a weapon to get back out of it.
Yes, you need to shoot your way out of it.
And actually, yesterday I did a recording with a World War II veteran, 100 and a half years old, and he had 7 battle stars. He started in North Africa and ended up in Berlin. And he said when they got to Berlin, it was just totally, totally decimated. And you think about what happened with Hitler and the Nazis. And Nazis, it's important to understand, it stands for the National Socialist German Workers' Party. And I was just thinking of the decimation that had happened to all those people in World War II because of socialism. And we are at a point in America where there is a real romance of this narrative of socialism. And to that point, we are at a time we need to push back on that. We're seeing the socialization of key things that make our life better, like transportation, education, energy, housing, water, communications, broadband data. And we need to get our brains around these issues. That's why we do this show, so that we can engage in the battle of ideas, because Ronald Reagan brought down the Berlin Wall with words and ideas. And Patty, that's why the work that we're doing is so important.
Yes. Let's have that conversation, and let's do it respectfully.
Absolutely. Steve, you look like you wanted to say something.
Did you see Ken Buck's comments, or actually a statement, official statement, that he released last night on CC?
I did not see it.
Okay, well, you know, he, besides being representative from Colorado, he is the Colorado GOP chairman, and he released a statement on CC. Colorado taxpayers were the clear winner in tonight's defeat of Proposition CC. Governor Polis and the liberal state legislators overreached once again, but were unsuccessful in deceiving the voters of Colorado to fund their reckless spending spree.
That pretty well says it. Now, on DD, I hear that that's neck and neck. So what we're going to do is, I thought I'd wait one day to do a complete election recap, kind of let things shake out. So Amy Oliver Cook with the Independence Institute will join me tomorrow, and we will break down all of those election results. And as always, I have to say thank you, Steve, Patty, thank you to you, Zach, Keith, and Charlie for all your great work. Really appreciate it. The research that you're doing is just amazing.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay, and thank you, all you listeners, for listening. Each of you, you're valued, you're treasured. Strive for excellence today, and take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. And be sure and check out my website. It is Kim Munson, that's spelled MONSON.com. Podcasts and recaps of the shows are there. And then you can also email me at kim@kimmunson.com. So just a couple of things. Last week, you and I went to No Safe Spaces, Patty, with our friend Sue. And it was a riveting movie.
It was. Freedom of speech, I think, is probably the most important element of our society today. You take that away, and it will destroy us.
Everything else goes.
Yes.
And that is why this whole offending and, this really bullying on whether or not you can say something or not, if you wear a hat, a certain kind of hat, you might be beat up. I mean, it is absolutely amazing. And I was a little surprised, Patty, in watching the movie. I've seen the stories, but I hadn't really paid attention to just the amount of destruction that occurred out at Berkeley when they were just protesting somebody that was exercising their right to speak. I was shocked at that.
Right. And it goes back to what you consistently say. Words are powerful. We don't need to resort to violence.
Right. And if, in fact, you disagree with someone, then, have a good debate, have a good deliberation, and make sure that you're working to strive for truth. I get pretty frustrated when I may finally make a point and somebody finally, they say, well, we'll just agree to disagree. It's like, wait a minute, let's kick the tires on these ideas. And if you can't get to a point where you can stand up for that idea, and I'm paraphrasing what I think C.S. Lewis said, if you can't defend that premise two or three questions in, then instead of throwing up your hand saying, hey, maybe we just agree to disagree, maybe you should check your premise. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I always welcome the conversation. I think it's important that I hear the other side, because sometimes you do overlook, especially the things that just seem like so common, but they really might have a very distinct place in the conversation. So it opens my mind up to, okay, I need to look at that and let me digest that and see if I still come up with the same opinion that I had when we started the conversation.
I think that's really the American idea, is to kick the tires on these ideas.
Right.
So another thing, so be sure and go to nosafespaces.com, nosafespaces.com. The movie is showing at other theaters throughout Colorado this weekend, and I would highly recommend that you see the movie. It's a very important piece. Adam Carolla and Dennis Prager are the stars of it, and we need to defend this right to be able to speak. And so that's a really important movie. And then, Steve, I know that you are a veteran, and Veterans Day is coming up. And Hooters Restaurants, which is one of my valued partners, on Veterans Day, November 11th, all veterans and active duty military will eat free. And there are 6 really great menu items that they can choose from. And so it should be a really fun day over at Hooters Restaurants. And again, all veterans and active duty military can eat for free. So I think that's pretty darn cool they're doing that, Patty.
Yes. And thank you to all the veterans out there. Because of you, we have our freedom.
And that's why we get to have this voice today, to be able to speak. So our inspiration today, I went to Paul Harvey. You remember Paul Harvey. He lived from 1918 to 2009. He was a conservative American radio broadcaster for the ABC radio networks. That's an oxymoron these days, Steve. Conservative and ABC, right? Right? Huh?
I heard a little piece this morning on the distinction in these large broadcast organizations between the divisions, news divisions versus entertainment division. Again, the old days, they were distinct, and now they're, you know, slowly merging together, if not totally overlapped. So, yeah, that's quite the oxymoron.
Yes, it was. So, and he broadcast news and comment on weekday mornings, middays, and at noon on Saturdays. And he was famous for the rest of the story segments. Remember that? And now the rest of the story. So his inspiration, in times like these, it helps to recall that there have always been times like these. And then I wasn't sure about this funny. I ran this by Steve, and I'm not sure he totally liked it. But we'll go ahead and we'll give this a try. Again, Paul Harvey. Tongue-in-cheek, okay? He said, if you found yourself in a situation where you could either save a drowning man or you could take a Pulitzer Prize-winning photograph of him drowning, what shutter speed and setting would you use? You don't think that's funny, do you?
It's
tongue-in-cheek.
It is, but it's very close to the truth because 50 years ago, people, you know, the drowning man would have been saved. Today,
Well, that's true.
I don't know.
I guess I'm still assuming that people would save the drowning man.
So what do we say about that word, assume? I mean, we can't go there, but hey.
Those are words we can't say on the air, right, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay. So I tell you what, let's go to break. I am thrilled to have in studio with me Patty Kurgan, who does all this great research for the Kim Munson Show. And, of course, the valued producer behind the glass, the man behind the glass, and that is Steve. And
behind the glass or the bars?
Well, right now it's the glass. So a great day here in Colorado. Proposition CC was defeated. The people spoke, even with all of the money that came in from Dan Ritchie and from Pat Stryker and all that outside money, Patty. Proposition CC went down because of, I think, hardworking people continued to get the message out of what was really happening there. So, Patty, it's a great day.
It is a great day.
So we're going to go to break. This is Kim Munson. It's the Kim Munson Show, and we'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Patty, I love these old westerns. I just love these songs. So anyway, welcome back. Patty Kurgan is in studio doing all the great research for the Kim Munson Show. And on the line we have with us Bill Hudson. He is the editor and founder of the Pagosa Daily Post. I tell you what, he is an amazing writer. If you look at the amount of information that is coming out, he just did a really important piece just yesterday. On Icebergs of Ignorance, Part 2. So, Bill Hudson, welcome. We had you on last week. It's great to have you here again.
Thank you. I appreciate the comments.
Well, most definitely. I said to Patty, I said, you are a prolific writer. I mean, the thought that goes into this, but also to be able to put those words on paper are pretty amazing. But we wanted to find out, you know, we've been talking about TIFs. That's tax increment financing. And there was a question put before town council in Pagosa Springs regarding a parcel of land. So set that up again for us, Bill, in case people didn't hear you last week.
Okay. So there is a resort that's right in the middle of downtown Pagosa Springs. It's a hot springs resort. And the new owners of the resort came to the town and said, we want to develop the 27 acres of vacant land that's next to the resort, but we can't afford to do that development unless we can get tax increment financing to pay for the streets and infrastructure. And they presented a report to the town saying that using tax increment financing, which is the new taxes generated by a new development, leaving the basic tax rate the same, the new taxes would go back into the developer's pockets to pay for what a developer normally pays for out of his own pockets, here in Pagosa Springs, at least. So the developers brought that idea forward. They said, we think our new development, our expansion, is going to generate about $79 million in new taxes, and we want to have that reimbursed to us to help us fund our development, our expansion. So that was brought before the town council. The first step of the process is to create an urban renewal authority, which then can consider projects like an expansion of a resort. And that's the question that was before the town council last night, was should we create an urban renewal authority that would then be able to use TIF financing to help developers with their projects. And we had about 100 people show up in the audience. The meeting lasted for about 3.5 hours, and the mayor allowed everyone who wanted to get up and talk and share their ideas about whether this was a good idea for our community. And we had about 10 people speak in favor of the URA and about 11 people speak in opposition to the URA. And then the council voted, and it was a 4-3 in favor of forming the Urban Renewal Authority. So that's where we're standing here at the moment in Pagosa Springs.
Okay, now just a question. $79 million, over what time period do they think that it will take to raise that kind of money? Typically, they're about 25 years, right?
That is the limit of a TIF financing plan. They can't go under a URA. They can't go longer than 25 years. But if they are able to pay off their investment before 25 years is up with their tax increments, then it expires before 25 years is up.
Okay, $79 million sure seems like a lot of money to put in some roads around a resort in Pagosa Springs. I mean, is it or isn't it?
Well, the town just rebuilt one of our main streets that was 4 blocks long, and it cost $2 million. To completely rebuild the street, strip it down to the bare ground, put in new subsurface, and that was $2 million. The area that we're talking about isn't any bigger than that, and yet they're quoting $30 million for the streets and infrastructure, and then because they have to borrow the money, they need the extra money to pay off the interest. Is the story that we were given?
Wow, this just kind of doesn't seem like it passes the smell test to me, Bill.
Well, I think many of the people in the audience didn't think so either. But apparently the council is excited to promote an expansion of a resort and seem to be wanting to move forward with this.
Okay, Bill, let's separate this out then. Okay, so let's say, and Patty, jump in here if you want to make a comment. So first of all, property rights. I'm a property rights girl, and so this developer comes in and buys the resort, and they own the property, okay, and they also now they own the 27 acres next to it. Is that right?
They actually have an option on the 27 acres.
They have an option. So the option is probably predicated on the fact that they would get this URA, I bet. I'm surmising on the air, I guess.
I would bet it was predicated on that, yes.
Okay, so let's say that the town of Pagosa Springs says, yes, this would be really exciting to, you know, expand this resort. And in a free market component, then that developer would be able to develop that on their own dime. They wouldn't be doing this with tax money. Am I doing this right, Patty? Am I following this right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So instead, though, if they get this URA put together, they anticipate $79 million in tax revenue. They're saying that it would cost $30 million to put in this infrastructure, like the streets, where you guys were able to put that in the city for much less. It seems to me like that the city might put in the infrastructure just because maybe that might be something that they would do. Then they would be receiving additional tax revenue. So it seems like it's better for the city to let the free market work this out instead of getting involved in it.
Well, you might think that, but the way that the tax increment financing works, the only money that can go into it to a TIF is municipal sales tax and community-wide property tax. And the property tax would come out of the school district, it would come out of the fire district, it would come out of the hospital district, it would come out of the water districts. In other words, the community as a whole would lose this money going to all the 10 different taxing districts that are in our community. The town only brings in about $80,000 a year in their property tax. So the town's actually not putting almost anything into this under a URA. It's all of the other taxing districts that are funding the development. And they have no vote on whether to set up the URA.
So that seems to be one of the questions that Patty and I were talking about, is that the people should have the right to vote on this. I mean, that seems like that might be something that should be done. And then, Patty, you'd also uncovered one other thing. In the Colorado Constitution, actually, there's no money is supposed to go to any businesses except, I think, in the energy sector. Is that right?
Correct. There's no aid to corporations of any kind.
Okay.
Ooh, I have to look that one up.
Oh, yeah. Article 11, Section 2.
Okay.
And it states there's no aid to corporations with a very few and limited exceptions. And it does conclude stating, though, that if it is in to affect the development of energy resources after discovery or production, transportation, or transmission of energy in whole or in part for the benefit of the inhabitants of such city or town.
Okay, so Bill, I hear that you probably are going to go do something with this. We're out of time for this right now, but let's continue this conversation because I think it's very important for the different communities and people across Colorado. So Bill Hudson, who is the founder and editor of the Pagosa Daily Post, thank you so much, and we will continue this very important conversation regarding our Colorado communities. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
I think he's probably going to look something up right now, Patty. What do you think?
I think he's already there.
He's there. So, hey, Jason McBride, how are you this morning? Are you happy that Prop CC went down?
I am very pleased about that. What happened with DD? Last I read, it was too close to call.
That is last I heard. I checked it before I went on the air. I haven't seen anything on it yet. We're going to do the recap on the election tomorrow. I thought I'd give it a day just to shake out.
Shake out the shenanigans.
Shake out the shenanigans. That's right. That's hard to say early in the morning. So,
right.
But yeah, I find that really encouraging that Prop CC went down.
Yeah, I'm really not all that surprised. I mean, they've made pretty high money efforts to, you know, keep the money like this before. And at the end of the day, you know, even the people that holler the loudest about needing more tax money don't want it to be their money.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning as well. Here we have in Colorado, we've elected a legislature and a governor that, you know, all they are thinking about is spending more and more and more of our money. But when it really comes down to it, the people of Colorado have said, no, we want to hold you accountable. We want you to be transparent, and we want to keep government. I think this is a message. We do want to keep government limited. But we got to figure out how to match up these two different messages here in Colorado, Jason.
Well, it's usually a spending problem and not a revenue problem. I just worry now. I think we're lucky that Tabor is part of the Colorado Constitution, because you remember what happened when they didn't get their way with the drilling setbacks. They just came in, you know, basically the next day after that one went down and said, well, we're going to do it anyway, just administratively. Is there any way they can do that with Tabor? I guess they would do fees instead of taxes, as we've talked about.
Well, they have been doing that. They've been, as you mentioned, they've been redefining words, fees instead of taxes, because we have the right to vote on taxes, but we don't have the right to vote on fees. And, you know, Jason, this is one other thing that's so frustrating is you take something that seems to make sense. And my understanding is the conversation on Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, they kicked around the word fee, but then there were those that said, well, you don't want to have the library district have to go to the voters every time they want to raise the fees for late books. And you're like, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Right. Never did they dream that they would take that word, they would redefine it, and do what they've done with that word. And that is the problem. When you give an inch to people that are not really going to act honorably, things don't work out very well. And so I'm at the point we need to stand and fight on each one of these things, because when we look back and see what's happened, they've not been honorable in their wording with hardworking Coloradans. And so I don't think we should give an inch on this. We need to stand strong.
No, and I on this issue especially, I agree with your conclusion, Kim, that kind of forcing our government in Colorado to be a little bit more frugal, which is what Tabor has done, has maybe kept them out of people's businesses and kind of kept them from getting so involved in Colorado. And that's one of the reasons that our state has been successful. Anytime the government gets involved in something, it's much more inefficient than when private citizens take care of it.
When government gets involved, the price goes up, the supply goes down, and things don't work out very well for everyday people. So, Jason, one of the things that you do, though, and I can't believe that it's November 5th.
Isn't it?
The end of the year is right around the corner. And we've been talking about different strategies over the past few weeks of how people can optimize their own personal economic well-being. And if Prop CC says nothing else, it is that people care about their own economic well-being. And so if you want to work with somebody who really, you know, has a focus on you and your individual needs, Jason, you and your colleagues over at Presidential Wealth Management are the folks to talk to.
I agree. We've been doing it for a long time. That's something I would point out too, Kim. Most of our advisors, you know, they're old war horses like me. You know, they're not brand new in the business, just learning how to do things. We've been doing retirement planning, you know, for a long, long time. So you do gain something with us older folks, and that's experience.
That's for sure. So if people want to reach you, there's a couple of ways. You can go to AIR, that's like we're on the air, AIR, airpresidential.com, airpresidential.com. That's easy for me to say this morning. And or Natalie will be at the switchboard there at Presidential Wealth Management at 7:30. That phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. The end of the year is right around the corner, so make that appointment with Jason and his colleagues now. Jason, thank you so much, and we're going to have a really great conversation tomorrow morning. You've done some great research on estate taxes, and that is also something that's really important to folks, so we'll talk about that tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Kim. Have a great show.
And most definitely. And let's go to break. Patty Kergan, researcher for the Kim Munson Show, is in studio, and we'll be talking with Sherry Pyfe. When you start to do this research, many times one of the first places that you go to is Complete Colorado, because they aggregate all these different stories, right, Patty?
Yes.
And so they aggregate all these stories across the state, and then they also have original content. If you will click on that banner at the very top, it'll take you to their original content. And Sherry Pyfe is, I think she's a real journalist. She really gets into it, and she comes up with the story, and she digs for the facts. And so when we come back, we'll talk with Sherry Pyfe and Patty Kurgan's in studio.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are having important conversations about things that affect you here in Colorado. Thrilled to have you in studio, Patty Kurgan. The amount of research that you do is just amazing, and you are uncovering important things that affect everyday people.
Yes, and what I'm hoping is that people get informed, will do a little bit more research on their own, and it will activate them so that they will, you know, go to council meetings, be more attentive, and hold their, as you say, PBIs accountable. If we as citizens don't do that, then they'll continue in the fashion that they're operating in right now.
And that's what we get. And we're seeing what's going on in Colorado. And maybe we'll just give a little teaser. We're going to be doing something right after the first of the year. We're going to do another Stand for Colorado rally. And we're going to do that on the opening day of the legislature, because we want to let them know that we are watching them and holding them accountable. So we're just getting everything ramped up on that now that we've gotten through this election. But be sure and join us on January 8th. It's going to be an important day.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. So, hey, we have Sherry Pyfe on the line. Sherry Pyfe is, I think she's an amazing journalist. She's in the spirit of getting to the facts, getting the story. Sherry, you're always searching for truth. It's great to have you here. You're with Complete Colorado. Welcome.
Thanks. Hey, good morning, Kim. Good morning, Saving Tabor. The greatest morning to wake up.
Are you a happy girl this morning?
You know, if I only had to win one thing last night, it was CC, and I was, yeah, I'm just so glad that CC went down last night. Wow, my God, CC went down.
Now, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, okay? But I actually think that maybe we can be very happy about this for a day or two, and then I think that we need to roll up our sleeves, because I think that they're going to go after Tabor big time in 2020.
Oh, there's no doubt.
You think so?
No doubt. This won't stop them. I mean, 112 went down, and they brought us 181. You know, Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind they'll still go after Tabor. So you're right.
Yeah. So a couple of days we'll enjoy this, and then we got to get back in the fight on this. So, but Sherry, Patty Kurgan's in studio with me. And in fact, she's going to have an op-ed at KimMunson.com later today. But we started to go through corporate welfare. What, 17 days? Was that what it was?
Yes, 17 days. We're over $1.3 billion.
And there were plenty more that you could bring forward.
Exactly, yes.
In corporate welfare, and we continue to say, Sherry, why on earth do we have on CC PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, wanting to keep our Tabor tax refunds forever, but yet we have all of this corporate welfare that's going on out there? If we have so much money on corporate welfare, why do we have to take hardworking people's Tabor tax refunds? So we've been talking about that question a lot. And one of the things that was uncovered was TIFs, these tax increment financing tools. And you had done a piece back in July regarding something up in Erie. So can you explain that a bit to us?
Yeah, so in the case of Erie, what happened was they went in and they took a large section, and Erie lands uniquely part in Weldon, part in Boulder County. And so they took a large section of land that they wanted to redevelop, and they, you know, drew parts of unincorporated Weld County in it, and they said, hey, let's do this. Let's go ahead and improve these areas. But in addition, and in order to develop a TIF, you have to blight that area. You have to say that there's something wrong with the area. So the parts of unincorporated Weld County that they included, however, was just oil and gas. There was nothing there to blight. So they draw these lines, and they go to all of these special taxing districts, and they say, hey, we're going to do this, and it's really going to improve because it's going to allow us to redevelop this area and put in new house or new infrastructure and make the roads better and add to the water case, water infrastructure better and all this other stuff. But what we need you to do is we need you to give up all of the extra taxes that you're going to get, all of them, not a portion of them, just all of them. Give all of that back to this town of Erie and let us use that money to do this with. And so places like the fire district and the library district and the school districts, they all said, sure, that'll be great, because when it comes down to it, we're going to end up with this great new infrastructure. We're going to get all these new businesses to move in. We're going to get all of these new houses to move in, and all of that is going to help our town. Except for the problem is they would have gotten that money without the blight. They would have gotten that money without the TIF, because this is all oil and gas money. Keeping in mind, Erie banned anymore or put a moratorium on any more oil and gas. Weld County did not. So now Erie wants to reap the rewards from Weld County's oil and gas plans so that they can improve their town while they put a moratorium on oil and gas. But the kicker there, when you go to the corporate welfare part, is while they asked entities such as the fire district, the school district, the library district to reimburse all of their money back, they didn't ask the metro districts. They were going to allow the metro districts to keep 100% of the money, the additional taxes that came in, so that the metro districts could continue to operate. So metro districts, as we all know, are already different because they get to set their own property tax dollars. But they still tap into the water system. They still use the roads to get to the metro district. They still use all of the infrastructure that's required, but the town was going to let the metro district keep their extra revenue from the TIF. That's where the corporate welfare comes in at on the Erie side of this whole project, is they were going to allow a metro district to keep that extra tax money while the special taxing districts that really need it really struggle and would have gotten huge increases from oil and gas anyway. They're going to have to give it up.
Okay, now, so Sherry, I'm trying to follow you on this. And again, I want to make it very clear. I am a property rights girl. I think that property rights are inherent in the American idea. And also think that under capitalism, that people, you know, risk things and they can be rewarded for those things. But metro districts initially many times are controlled by the developers, right?
They are. They absolutely, well, they are not many times, they are controlled by the developer. So the developer will come in and they will create, basically, it's almost like having your own little town, but instead of, because with a metro district, you're not paying property taxes the way you normally would pay them. The developer is allowed to increase your mill levies for that development to sometimes double what you would normally get if you were living in your own district. Metro districts have way different rules. They have much higher mill levy caps, and because they're supposed to be the ones taking care of the infrastructure. So metro districts are the ones that manage the roads that are within that metro district. They manage the water lines. They manage all of the infrastructure, and all of the maintenance is on the metro district. So they're allowed to tax at a higher rate than your normal county or city or school district or whatever would. And that's because that's what they're designed to do. And that is on the developer. That is on the person that puts that in there.
Okay.
But when you have these, go ahead.
Well, I think my question is, because I've seen metro districts that, you know, it seems like that they've worked pretty well, but yet then you can also see, like anything, it can get to a point where it can be abused. But I think I want to go back to the first question on the table. And Patty, I'm going to toss this over to you because Sherry brought up the term blight. And so when you start some kind of a program or whatever, and you're basing it on something that is not true. So what Sherry just said is that this property was not blighted. But you ascertain that because that is what the statute says. You're starting off from a dishonest beginning. And typically when you start off that way, ultimately it doesn't work out so well.
Right. So it goes back to pure deception, which we've discussed a number of times on this show. So there is what's called the Urban Renewal Legislative Declaration, and in it, it states that if you're going to do an urban renewal area, the area has to, it says, municipalities of this state, slum and blighted areas, which constitute a serious and growing menace, injurious to the public health, safety, morals, and welfare of the residents of the state in general and of the municipalities. And that's not happening here. But when they go in to do these TIF developments, this is what they're citing, is that it's a blighted area and we need to go fix it. And Sherry's right on the point. This is misuse and abuse.
Okay. You know what? Let's go to break, Sherry. Let's leave that out there, misuse and abuse, and continue on this conversation because you have really highlighted a couple of very important things. So let's go to break. This is Kim Munson, and I have Patty Kurgan in studio. Sherry Pipe with Complete Colorado is on the line, and we'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Greenwood Village, Tina Francone with Straightforward Shooting, and Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Thrilled to be having a conversation with Patty Kergan, researcher for the show, as well as Sherry Pife, who is a great journalist with Complete Colorado, regarding tax increment financing. And Sherry, before we went to break, and we're talking about TIFs, and you did a really important piece back in July regarding what was going on up in Erie. And Patty said that many times there's kind of misuse and abuse, and those are kind of fighting words. So how would you address that?
Well, I think she's absolutely right, and I think this is a perfect example of it because, as she described, when you go to use an urban renewal project and create these tax increment financing issues, you have to find that the land that needs that you're going to create the urban renewal around needs to be renewed. I mean, there needs to be something wrong with it. It needs to be not in a good course. In this situation, they only included parts of unincorporated Weld County because that's where the largest taxing base was going to come from, because that's where the oil and gas drilling was taking place. The parts of unincorporated Weld County that were included in this plan was land, just land. There was nothing. It was just farmers' land, empty land, where wells were sitting and wells were drilling and money was going to come in. And that is why it was included, because that was where, I don't know if you explained earlier, but with TIF financing, what they do is they create a base. They say, this is what we're getting right now. We're going to freeze that base of tax revenue at this spot. And all that goes to that initial base is going to go where it's always gone. But once we have renewed this land and we have developed it and we have, improved it and all of these new businesses and all these new rooftops move in, any property tax that comes in above that initial base where we froze it, we're going to get to keep a portion of it. We're going to keep, usually it's about 50%. The town is going to keep 50% for doing the improvements. And the special taxing districts, the library districts, the school districts, they're going to get the other 50% because they need it in order to continue the growth that's going to come from the improvements. But in this case, they convinced all these special taxing districts to allow them to keep all of it and not get any of it back, except for the metro districts. They got to keep all of it. But it was based on something that wasn't even blighted to begin with. It was based on empty land that had oil wells sitting on it, because that's where the tax revenue was going to come from. And guess what? That tax revenue was going to come whether the town of Erie improved all of the rest of the area or not, because that was land that was owned by Weld County.
So it was owned by Weld County, or it was in...
Mm-hmm. Well, most of it was Weld County's land.
Okay, so it wasn't farmers or ranchers. It was Weld County's land, huh?
It was both. It was both. It was unincorporated Weld County that most of it was owned by Weld County.
Interesting. And this is getting more complicated. I thought I had my brain around it.
It's a horrible topic. I agree.
But it is really important. And hopefully our listeners' eyes are not glazing over, because as we go through this, it's really important to understand this. Now, so let's say that land was going to be developed, but you wouldn't have to put in a TIF to do that, right?
No, not at all. I mean, you could develop it. I mean, you could develop anything that you want without the TIF. The point of the TIF was there was areas within this urban renewal zone that needed to be that were blighted, that could have used. And it's like Commissioner Kirkmeyer said, Weld County has entered into TIF agreements with municipalities a lot, because usually what happens is they're willing to give up some of their property tax increase because there wouldn't have been any increase to begin with. So 50% of something is better than 100% of nothing. And when you have a blighted piece of land that nobody's ever going to improve on, you're never going to get tax revenue out of it. You're willing to give up some of that future tax revenue if the town is willing to take on the job of redeveloping it and getting people to move into it. So that's usually why somebody would enter into an agreement. But in this case, it was land that was not going to be developed anyway, but was always going to have oil and gas on it. So that money was always going to come in. And now the town of Erie wanted not only Weld County to give up their share, but they wanted all these other taxing entities to give up all of their share as well.
Boy, and it seems to me as you develop it that all these there will be a pressure on these services for each of these entities that were giving up that additional tax revenue.
Which is what is so confusing to the commissioners when they sat down with Erie. Why the school district, why the library district, why the fire district would be willing to give up 100% of revenue that they would have gotten anyway again. And that's the big stressor. This was land that was being drilled on. This was land that had oil and gas development going on. They would have gotten that revenue no matter what. Now they're saying, no, yeah, it's okay. We don't want it. Why would you give that up? When once the project is done, the town is going to grow, and you're going to have more businesses, more rooftops, more kids. You're going to have places that need more fire protection, kids that need schooling, kids that need library. It was mind-boggling. Nobody could understand what deal was cut in what back room that made these special taxing districts agree to something like this. Just unreal.
So, Patty, what do you think about this as you're hearing all this?
Well, like you, Kim, I am strongly a believer in private property rights. And I go back to misuse and abuse of this particular declaration. And sometimes it's just better to let the free market run, and we don't need to hand out TIFs to select developers. And just let it go at that. And it sounds like this really was not needed, and they were, you know.
Yeah,
and it's very complex, and I think they make it complex so that it's very hard for the average listener to understand and put all the pieces together. And so,
that is the key. That is the key answer right there. That is exactly right.
Aha. Okay, so Sherry, we have just a few more minutes left, and Patty and I have been talking about this week. And first of all, there's this assumption that, we'll say Erie in this case, that the town council and the city planners, that they know how to plan that community, then in essence kind of control that community. But instead, I mean, I'm not really sure that that is the proper role of town councils, is to just totally plan, you know, each and every little parcel of land. I looked at the Denver blueprint, or Blueprint Denver, which was passed back in April. It's 300 pages long, and they basically want to map out every acre in Denver to hit certain parameters of inclusivity and a variety of things. I think we're going down a dangerous road. I think TIFs, there's been some good things that have happened with it, but it seems like anytime you get these PBIs involved, they may take something and they are off to the races, and everyday hardworking Coloradans are the ones that are footing the bill. So, Sherry, what's your comments on that?
I agree with you, and they do work in certain cases, you know, and I can cite a couple of instances here in Greeley where the city council coming in and blighting an area and buying up the land, you know, at fair market value was appropriate. You know, we had a couple of areas within our town, small areas that nobody wanted to buy, nobody wanted to redevelop because they were disasters. And the city came in and blighted them and bought the land for fair market value. And in one case, built a brand new police station and changed the whole look of that area. And in another case, built a new city hall and changed the whole look of that area. And these were pieces that had been on the market for years, but nobody was going to buy because of the situation and the condition that they were in. But you're right. It has become an abuse. It's become, anytime a developer comes in and wants to build something, but they don't really like the cost of the land, then they start talking to the local government. And that's where the local government, you go back and forth because you just don't know how much power you want to give that local government to do these things, because they've intruded on it several times where it's just not appropriate. And definitely this one in Erie is at the top of the list of inappropriate.
Okay, we're just about out of time, Sherry. Patty, I want to toss this back over to you, though. Is when, in essence, and you've done the research on this, it says that the property needs to be blighted before anything can be done. That term has been abused, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And I'll acknowledge Sherry's comment that she has seen places where it's worked, but I've read more cases where it hasn't. And I would guess that
Absolutely. It's
far outnumbered where it was abused and the development did not work out the way it was supposed to.
Yeah, and we had Bill Hudson with Pagosa Springs on earlier before you came on, Sherry, and they're talking about a potential TIF, Urban Renewal Authority, down in Pagosa Springs. And they're talking about $79 million in tax revenues that would go to the Urban Renewal Authority, where he said that they were able to do about the same length of improvements the other day for $2 million. So we're going to continue
wow.
on this. This is such an important conversation to have. And Sherry Pipe with Complete Colorado, thank you for the good reporting that you do.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kim, for recognizing that. I appreciate it.
And so we will continue this conversation. So, Sherry, thank you so much, and we'll continue this on a different day. Patty Kurgan, final thought on this.
You know, we just have to keep our nose in the papers and really look at this and overcome the complexity. Even, you know, the story that Sherry wrote about up in Erie, it's more complex than the average one, but they're all complex. Let's look at the developers, see what's happening to the small businesses that are around there that continue paying 100% taxes, and somebody from out of town comes in and they get a free ride.
And they get their taxes right. back.
And it goes back to the one question that we always ask, is this the proper role of government? I don't think it is.
Okay, well, we will continue with this conversation. Patty, thanks so much for being in studio. Our quote today is from Paul Harvey. He said, "It was self-serving politicians who convinced recent generations of Americans that we could all stand in a circle with our hands in each other's pockets and somehow get rich." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.